If you have brought with you today a copy of the scripture, I do want to encourage you to open it up with me, please, to the book of 1 Timothy. We're going to look at chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter number 3. We're going to read in just a moment or two verses 8 through verse number 13. That's 1 Timothy chapter number 3, verses 8 through verse number 13. Preaching on this subject this morning, deacons called to serve. Deacons called to serve. I have the New King James Version of the Scripture with me this morning. So if you are able, would you stand together with me, please, as we honor God and we share together in the reading of God's holy, His inerrant, and His infallible Word. 1 Timothy chapter number 3, verse number 8, the Bible says, "Likewise, deacons must be reverent, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy for money, holding the mystery of the faith with a pure conscience. But let them also first be proved. Then let them serve as deacons, being found blameless. Likewise, their wives must be reverent, not slanderers, temperate, faithful in all things. Let deacons be the husbands of one wife, and ruling their children and their own households well. For those who have served well as deacons obtain for themselves a good standing and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus." Pray with me if you would, please. Heavenly Father, we do come before you this morning wanting to say thank you for the scripture. God, we love it. We are grateful that you've chosen to speak to us through your word, and you have it written down and recorded, God, what you think and how we are to operate and how we are to handle ourselves. God, we are grateful for the privilege of reading your book. God, we pray that your Holy Spirit always helps us to understand what's recorded there for us. God, I pray this morning as we think about the subject of deacons and how men of God are called to serve you in that regard, Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit takes over during this time, that your Holy Spirit helps us to see and to understand the kind of men that serve in a capacity of deacon in the local church. Father, we are giving ourselves to that. Next week, we will be thinking about the deacon nominations. And Father, I pray that we'd be well prepared with the people that you would have us nominate and bring before you to serve in this regard. And so, God, I pray this morning as I open up these verses of Scripture, I pray that your Holy Spirit helps us to see and understand what we have before us today. God, I pray that you'd fill me with your Spirit. Father, I pray that you'd give me that heavenly unction. For it is in the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that we pray, and it is in the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that I preach. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. We've been talking about for a few weeks now the calling and selection and nomination of some men that would serve here at Parkside as deacons. And so I've been asking you to pray for who God would lay upon your heart, who God would put in your mind and in your spirit that would serve here at Parkside as deacons. And so I want you to be well understood and well prayed up to that particular time. And the last deacon meeting we had, one of the deacons said to me, "Pastor Rick, are you planning on preaching on the subject of deacons in the next little bit?" And I hadn't really thought about preaching on the subject of deacons, but I thought, you know, thought a little bit about it, and I thought, you know, that's a reasonable request, and so I'm going to give myself to doing that this week. And we're going to think about those men of God that are called to serve. And so here's what's going to happen. We've been asking you to pray for a few weeks now, and next Sunday we're going to have the process of nominating some men to serve as deacons in our church. And every one of you that are members of Parkside Church, you're going to get a slip of paper that is a deacon nomination form. And it's going to be one of these. They're already prepared and already ready to go, and we're going to make them available to you. And it reminds you of the men that we currently have serving here at Parkside as deacon, and these are the guys. We have Chuck Coyle, Gary Holly, Jonathan Gunter, Bronson Goss, Andy Craig, and Ron Spurgeon. And the way Parkside does this is that we ask these men of God to serve for a 3-year term, meaning that some rotate off after the end of 3 years. And we have two guys that will be rotating off, and they're not eligible to serve for at least a year period of time. And the two men that are going to be rotating off this year, Brother Chuck Coyle is going to be rotating off, and Gary Holly. Gary led prayer request time, and he reminded you that he is going to be rotating off. And so that's going to create a void of needing some men to serve. And so you're going to get this slip of paper, and there's just going to be some blanks there. We have 1, 2, 3, and 4. Doesn't mean that you have to nominate 4 guys. What it simply means is that you need to nominate those men that God has put upon your heart. And so what you will do is you'll just write their names down on that blank piece of paper, and then you will hand it in. Right, and that will be the extent of it, and then we will take up these nomination forms, and the deacons will go over them and have some conversations about who is interested in serving and who is truly qualified to serve in regard to that. And so that will take a period of time, a few weeks, that we will be praying for and talking to those individuals, and then at a church vote, we will confirm who is going to serve. And so, but I want you to be ready, and I want you to be prepared for that, to know a little bit about the kind of person that you need to be thinking about and praying for. And the best text that I can think about that speaks to us in regard to that is this one that we're going to look at today. It's in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 8 through verse number 13. And so what I want us to do is I want us to spend a little bit of time thinking about deacons called to serve and understanding what is the biblical foundation for those that are going to be called to serve in this particular capacity. So keep your Bible open, if you would, and we'll learn some things from this passage of Scripture. I want us to begin here in verse number 8. Now, in verse number 8, it speaks to us about his character. It speaks to us about his character. Notice what it says here. It says, likewise, deacons must be reverent, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy for money, and holding the mystery of the faith in good conscience. So it talks to us, first of all, here when we look at verse number 8, about the character of the man that God would have serve in this particular capacity. It says that these men must be reverent. Well, when you think of the word reverent, what is it that you think about? Well, oftentimes in our vernacular, in the English language, when we think of someone that is reverent, we think about individuals that would be quiet and serious. Oftentimes, the seriousness is almost gloomy. But you need to understand, in the original language, that word reverent does not mean necessarily to be serious to the point of gloomy. That word reverent means this. It means they are honorable. They are respectable. A deacon should be someone that lives an honorable kind of life, that lives a respectable kind of life. And that's really the way the word reverent is used here in this passage of Scripture. The word respect, it comes to mind. And respect refers to a feeling of approval or admiration for someone due to their good qualities or due to their good achievements. Deacons are ones that would be reverent. Deacons are ones that would command your respect. I think it implies that you have had the opportunity of looking at their character, and their character stands up as such as people that commands an amount of respect from them. You know that they're not just the average guy. You know that they are the man that has been following and has been walking with the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so it talks to us about these people that we're going to nominate, we need to nominate men that have that kind of character, character that they would be looking at as men that command respect, that have their admiration. And so he tells us this is what their character looks like. And so there's a do here that we see in verse number 8. Deacons must be reverent. And then if you'll notice in that verse of Scripture, there are some things that they ought not do, right? And notice what it says next. They ought not do these things. It says they ought not be double-tongued. You know what that means, right? Double-tongued. Someone that is trustworthy in speech. What they say in public matches what they say in private. I've known some people that would just say whatever it is that they thought you wanted to hear. And it didn't really matter what situation that they were in. They would tell you something they felt like you wanted to hear, but if they were in a different situation, in a different circumstance, with a different person, they might be able to say something completely and totally different from that, simply because they were bending themselves to what they felt like someone wanted to hear. That's not the kind of person that God would have be a deacon. A deacon is someone that is not double-tongued. He will say in a godly kind of way what he thinks. And he will tell me what he thinks. And he will tell you what he thinks. And what he tells me and what he tells you would be one and the same thing, right? So that's what he says here. People that are not double-tongued. And also, he says here in this passage of Scripture, people that are not addicted to wine. It says here in verse number 8, not given to much wine, but I think not given to any wine, right? Given to wine ruins your testimony. And we want men of God that have a fantastic testimony, that are recognized when people see them. This is a person of God. This is a godly man. So, not double-tongued, not addicted to much wine, and then not greedy for dishonest gain. People that are trustworthy. Sometimes money and power motivate people for service. And I think about deacons. I want deacons that if I would give them my wallet, I know that my wallet would be safe. If I would give them my checkbook, I know that they would not have to worry. I would not have to worry about them writing out a check to themselves, right? People that are honest. And I'm grateful for the men of God that have been raised up here in Parkside. I feel that way about all these guys. They are honest, and they are really serving as a deacon. You want to know why? Not that they'll get anything out of it. They're serving as a deacon simply because they love the Lord. And God has said, would you serve in this capacity? That's the kind of people that we want to serve in deacon role here at Parkside. So the first thing that this text talks to us about is character. We nominate people. We're not nominating people because they're liked. We're not nominating people because they are popular. We are nominating people because they are men who have character, as such is defined here in these verses of Scripture. It is a spiritual office, not a popularity contest, right? The second thing we need to see about this is not only does it speak about his character, but secondly, it speaks about his faith. Now, notice what it says next, verse number 9. Look at that. Verse number 9, it says this, holding the mystery of the faith with a pure conscience. We nominate people that hold the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. The mystery of the faith refers really to the revealed gospel of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That revelation that God has spoken to us about. The revelation that Jesus is the Christ and Jesus provides a way of salvation to all of those who would believe. Now, there, as a theologian, as a pastor, I've studied the gospel and I understand the gospel and I can explain the gospel to people, but I recognize that there's a whole bunch about the gospel that I need to learn. There's a whole bunch about the gospel that I don't fully understand. It's a mystery, right? But the mystery of the gospel, we are to hold it in a pure conscience. It means that we are to be seeking after an understanding of what the gospel is. And so when you think about a deacon is a gospel-shaped servant. A deacon must know the gospel. A deacon must live the gospel. Their life and their doctrine must align up in accordance with the gospel. Again, we're not looking at people that will do the office of a deacon. We're looking for believers who embody the truth of the gospel, right? They are genuine in their seeking after the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He speaks about their character and he speaks about their faith. The third thing that we see here in this passage is not only does it talk about character and faith, but it talks about testing. Notice what it says here, verse 10. It says in verse number 10, but let these also first be proved. They need to be proved. The word proved there really is the idea of going through a testing period. A testing period. You know what the purpose of a test is? Purpose of a test is to discern whether or not you know your stuff, right? For example, I took a test a couple, 3 weeks ago. Now, one of the things that is expected of people that are public servants, pastors, and probably other public servants is what is expected of us is that we need to be able to know CPR, right? Be able to know CPR and be able to know first aid response. And so I have a credential that I have carried for years since I've been in the ministry of being certified in first aid and being certified in CPR. And that credential usually lasts about a 3-year period of time. And so I recognized the other day that I've been here at Parkside for 3 years and I never went through the process of getting recertified. And so I'm like, oh man, I need to take care of that. And so one of the things, if you have been through the process several times, what they will let you do is they'll let you test, right? You will test to see if you still know the stuff. And so I haven't taken a test for a long time, and so I was kind of sweating it, and I thought, well, I'm not going to even brush up on this stuff. What I'm going to do is I'm just going to take the test. So I took the test, and guess what happened? I passed, and I thought, whew, I'm glad I was tested. And so I have a credential now that is active for today that says I'm certified in CPR, I am certified in first aid, right? And so that's kind of what we're looking here for deacons. Deacons that carry with them a credential that says they are certified of being a genuine, authentic follower of God. But their certification doesn't come in a card. Their certification doesn't come on a stamp of paper, right? Their certification comes from them living their lives in front of us in such a way that we know and we understand that these are people, men of God, right? They're tested. So what is he saying here? Those that you would nominate to serve as a deacon should be men that are tested. How do you test somebody? We don't give out a written exam. Now, we will talk to, of course, those that are nominated and understand some things about their doctrinal position, understand some things about their ecclesiological position that we would have as far as a church is concerned. But how do you test them? Well, you test them by looking at their life. Are they serving in the capacity of a deacon now, or are they not? You know that there are some here that are not officially stamped a deacon at Parkside that are serving like a deacon. They're loving the Lord. They're ministering to people. They're being an example. And so they're living like a deacon before they're even called by name as a deacon. They're testing. We're looking for people that have proven that they're genuine, authentic followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so number four talks about his household. Look here at verses 11 and 12. It says, likewise, their wives must be reverent, not slanderers, temperate, faithful in all things. Let deacons be the husband of one wife, ruling their children in their own house as well. So it speaks to us a word about his household. It says that their wives must be reverent, not slanderers, temperate, and faithful in all things. And so a deacon's wife, then, should be honorable as well. She should be reverent as well. You should not look at a deacon's wife and think, man, I don't know about that person because his wife is a piece of work. Let me just say that. You probably have known some husband and wife relationships that were that way. The husband is a piece of work, and the wife is as sweet as she can be. And the husband is sweet as he can be, and the wife's a piece of work. You know, we don't want that, right? We want the couple being honorable together of the Lord. Demonstrating faithfulness throughout the entirety of their husband and wife relationship. And then, oh yeah, by the way, it speaks about their kids. It says here in this passage of Scripture that their children got to do well also. I tell people all the time, you want to know what Rick Hillard's like? Look at my wife. You want to know what Rick Hillard's wife? Look at my kids. You know, does my wife love Jesus, and does my wife follow Jesus, and does she love me? And look at my two children. Look at Brittany, my daughter, and Brian, my son. And do they love Jesus, and do they follow Jesus? And I know what the answer to that is. It's yes. And so they really are my credential, right? You know, what kind of person I am? Well, look at my wife, and look at my kids. That's what God's telling us to do in regard to deacons. Look at their family. You need to understand that. What does the neighbor say about your household? The neighbors speak well about you? I really was challenged with that thought this week. My son Brian, I just mentioned him, his family is away on vacation. And since they're away on vacation, we get the pleasure of watching their three dogs. Now they have those, I don't even know what kind of dogs they are, about this Yorkie-type dogs, weigh 4 or 5 pounds, you know, and there's three of them. And you know what those dogs know? Nothing. They know absolutely nothing. You know what they know? They know how to bark. I mean, a leaf can fall outside and it's... I mean, when those small dogs bark, they're so loud. I mean, the decimal level of those dogs, it just gets way up there, so much so that it really hurts your ears. And we have a dog, right? And we have a big dog, a Doberman. But I want you to know, when Cappy, our Doberman, barks, you need to get up and go check on something. I mean, she's barking for a reason. There's somebody there, right? But when my son's three dogs bark, you know what that means? Absolutely nothing. They have had no alpha training at all. They think that it is their responsibility to guard everything under the sun. And so they've been at my house this week. And one of the things that I'm doing is I'm trying to teach them, right? I'm going through alpha training with them. Let them know that it is not their role, it is not their responsibility to bark at everything under the sun. If I'm there, I'm going to take care of the things that need to be taken care of, right? I'm trying to teach them this thing. So I get up in the morning and we crate them at night because they're not potty trained and they will go in the house. And so I get up in the morning and I'll take them outside. Well, it was Thursday morning, I get up, and I've been working with these dogs. We got them on I don't know, it's been a long week. We got them and for a couple days, and I've been working on them. When they bark, you know what I'm telling them? Hush up over there. Hush. Be quiet. Okay, and I'm saying this in my house, hush and be quiet. Okay, so I get up one morning and I let them go outside. And so they're going outside and they're doing their business, and I don't know, a cricket chirped somewhere, and so they started in. And I said, hush up over there. And then I happened to look at my next door, and there was Andy sitting outside, looking over at me. And I thought, man, I wonder if he's thinking I'm yelling at my wife. Hush up. And so it caused me to think, right? To think, what do the neighbors see at the Hillard house? You don't want to know what I want my neighbors to see at the Hillard house? I want them to see a household that is following Jesus. You understand what I'm trying to get you to see? A household that is following Jesus. There's a man of God that lives there, and a man of God is following Jesus. There is a lady of God that lives there, and the lady of God is following Jesus, and there are children of God that live there, and the children of God are following Jesus. That's the kind of people, right, we look for as deacons. His household is a household that follows the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. They're faithful. Faithful in marriage. They have dignity in parenting. There is integrity found in the home. One more thing I wanted to mention, and that's verse 13. Verse 13, you see his reward there. It says this, for those who have served well as deacons, they obtain for themselves a good standing and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. For those people who have served well as a deacon, obtain for themselves a good standing and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. So he talks in verse 13 about what is the reward of those men of God. Well, the reward for those men of God is a human reward, and there is a heavenly reward. The human reward is that they've got some boldness. You know, if you are a man of God, you can be sure that people will listen to what you have to say. If you are a man of God who's called to serve here at Parkside Baptist Church, I am 100% convinced that the people at Parkside will give an ear to what it is that you have to say. You have a good standing with them, and you have great boldness in the faith. And you can speak because you know you're going to be heard. You know what it's like sometimes to speak of knowing it's going to go in one ear and out the other. You know, if you know it's going to go in one ear and out the other, chances are if you know that's true, you're going to be quiet. But if you know that you got somebody's ear and you can speak a word of truth into their soul, That gives you great boldness, right? Because you can help people on their journey with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that's a humanly reward, but also there's a heavenly reward. My heavenly reward is, man, I've got a good standing, and I've got great boldness in the faith in Christ Jesus. I have a good standing, not only with people, but with the Lord. Because I know that I'm doing what the Lord has asked me to do. Man, what a blessing that is. It's a challenge. It really is. It is a challenge to serve God as an officer in His church. The way the Scripture leads us to be, there are two offices in the church, right? Just two of them. That's the role of the pastor. And so I recognize this morning that I've been called to be an officer at Parkside Baptist Church. I understand this. In this community around here, I represent you. When people see me, they see you. And I think about that when I'm yelling at the dogs, right? Not only do I think about that when I'm yelling at the dogs, I think about that when I'm driving down the road. I think about that when I'm going into the hospital. I think about that when I'm in a community here. That I have eyes that are upon me. I live in a glass house, and I know that. But man, what a reward of knowing that I'm doing what God has asked me to do. Nothing better. The role of pastor is an officer. There's another officer in the church, and that's a deacon. Pastors, deacons are the two offices in the church. And just as it's a privilege to be called as a pastor, man, it is a privilege to be called as a deacon. And next Sunday, we're going to go through the process, right? We're going to nominate some people to serve. We're going to come in here and have our worship service like we typically do. And at the close of our service, we're going to hand out those slips of paper that I showed to you. And there's going to be some spots there for you to write down some names. And I want you next Sunday to be ready, to be prepared, to come here knowing I'm nominating so-and-so to serve as a deacon. And when you have that piece of paper in front of you, you're going to nominate somebody. You're going to nominate them because you think they meet the qualifications that the Scripture talks about. And some of you folks are going to be nominated. And it always breaks my heart, to be honest with you, of knowing that you have won the approval of some of God's choicest servants who have approached this prayerfully. And they have nominated you to serve. And then for whatever reason, you decide, I don't want to do that. You need to understand that it is a great privilege. It is a great responsibility. And there is a great reward for those who serve and serve Him well. So this is what I'm asking us to do, especially during this next week. Be praying, and be praying hard for who God would put upon your heart to serve. And if you're here and you think that's you, you be praying, and you be praying hard, asking God to give you that answer, yes, I'll serve. Pray with me if you would.